All right, let's read here Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Richard Francis Weymouth translation says it like this: that is why I tell you, whatever you pray and ask for, if you believe that you have received it, it shall be yours. Now, who said this? In the Bible. Jesus said. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's go now over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Archie, try to take him on the side next time, okay? Hebrews chapter 11. All right, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says in verse 1, now faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I will read it out of the Amplified. You can put it on the board if you have it. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So real faith is basically faith or trust in the Word of God alone without any sense evidence. Real faith. And that's what we're developing in here. And so what we're looking at is basically this Bible is the last will and testament, and it tells us what we are, what we have, and what we can do. And that is part of our inheritance. But what we're going to have to do is receive this by faith. I had to receive the fact that I'm in a royal family by faith. You know? And what Ian and I talked about earlier was meditation is key for you to get your inheritance in the promised land. Because remember, that's the first thing God did with Joshua. He said, now, here's the way you're going to take it. He said, every place the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given you. But here's the way you're going to take it. You're going to meditate in my word how long? Day and night. Okay? So, our inheritance always comes in proportion to our new identity. Our inheritance always comes in proportion to our new identity. What kept them out of Canaan, the first group that came out of Egypt, is how they saw themselves. Now, for you to see yourself like God sees you, you're going to have to receive it by faith. You're going to have to get it by faith. Other than that, how you were raised, how your cousin called you, you know, baby, whatever it is, that's kind of the way you see yourself. And I'm talking to people of any background that's in here. But as you really get to understand how God sees you, He sees you righteous. God sees you rich. God sees you healed. God sees you holy. I'm not talking about He's seeing you going to get holy. He sees you already holy. He sees you with a divine nature. That means you have this His royalty. He sees you fulfilling your destiny. He sees you endued with authority and power. Already now. This is the way He sees you. This is the way He sees you. Now, how do you see yourself? And if you don't see yourself like he sees you, then you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, please. Because some of this stuff that's in Canaan is fit for a king. If you don't see yourself like that, then you got some problems. And don't look at your background. Don't look at how much education I got. Don't look at what color I am. Don't look at any of that. Hey, believe me, you can get a picture on the inside that overrides anything on the outside. It take it right out. It obliterate it. That's what happened to me. Me. In a natural, people might think I'm short. No. Okay, all right, that's all right. I ain't gonna go no further. That's okay. You see, y'all tripping. And, okay, let's look at this. Let's see, can you see? No, I ain't gonna even deal with it. I'm gonna just stay right here with this here. Yeah. See, I have a picture of who he says I am. And that's why I can receive what I can receive and not have to steal it. See, the inheritance is already mine. The problem is, can I receive? The Canaan not only represented the rest, R-E-S-T of God, it represented the best, B-E-S-T of God. The best that is in the earth belongs to God's people. He said, I'm giving you the wealth of the wicked, not the poverty of the wicked. Because there are some poor, wicked folk. He's not giving you none of their stuff. Got it? Now, this is God. I didn't say this. This is New Testament, man. And somebody sent me a letter. Somebody, that heresy they preaching down here and that. And so me and a couple other preachers. Hey, man, get out of town. Oh, you follow what I'm saying? See, they haven't read this. Now, they might have read it, but they haven't meditated it. Say amen to this. Now, look what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So notice, we're looking here to find out how you look.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Look at here. I mean, this is telling you. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, that's some basic things, you know, like get your hair done. But over here, that there is, I got all my stuff in here from today. And to let you all know, I am studying the Word of God. But basically, it's telling you here. I'm finding out a child of God. A child of God. Now, we can say that, well, I'm a child of God. No representative of God in the earth should be broke. How does that happen? You'd be the child of God and broke. How does that happen? Because that word child of God has never gotten down into your heart. It's just a religious cliche. Praise God, I'm a child of God. If you really get that. Listen, I told you Sunday, now this is a secret. I don't know where I'm going tonight. Y'all just have to hang on. This is a secret. If you just change your image, the stuff will come to you. You don't need to go after stuff. It was never meant you go after it. It was meant that all his blessings come on you and overtake you. Yes. Just change your image. Just change how you see yourself. And the enemy knows when you know he knows. Now, you follow what I'm saying? this Sunday, that devil knew when I was coming back there at that lady who was on the floor. He knew. He knew. He knew. Because I knew he knew. And then the man fell out back there. The closer I got to him, he straightened up and got up. The lady that fell out up here, they couldn't move her. I just came up and just said, get up. And boom, oh, okay, got up. Now, the devil knows. But he knows when you know you don't know. Now, you got to hear what I'm telling you, man. I call it being kingdom-minded. That's what I call it. I don't baptize people in that pool without me expecting demons to come out of them. Amen. I don't do that. I don't say words. What good is that? My job is to deliver those people.
Amen.
Why would I do that to them? So I'm just saying, you got to have that in you bigger than how your cousin sees you. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. No problem. What it just takes is meditation. It takes you stopping for a moment and just not looking for another sermon, but looking for a secret that you can move into a higher realm with God now. It's not something you're trying to do and beef up yourself so you can be somebody. That's not the idea. The idea is that we are supposed to be changed and to look like him. Them devils knew when Jesus was coming around. What is that demon over there? And actually, he said, Paul, I know. And Jesus, I know. But who are you? They know, see, they know when you know, because what you do is you've become minded of the fact that your royalty means that you have the final say in the affairs of whatever domain you're walking on. Boy, that came out of the Spirit of God. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're a man or a woman. I told you about this woman. This is a true story. The people broke out of prison and they came, and one of them, it was a house that was sitting way back on a farm, and an old lady was out there, you know, 80 or 90 years old, whatever it was, and she was, you know, one of the prisoners broke in the door and had a gun and told her to put her hands up and so forth, and she's busy cooking breakfast or something, and she turn around and say, you better put that thing down and get something to eat. Sit down and get something to eat. And ended up taking him back to prison. Because the demons who were driving him had to submit themselves to the woman with power. Now, I remember that time Doris Bowles and them went out there, and two women went out there on a Saturday on evangelism, and went out there and saw the guy coming and stopped him and said, excuse me, we want to talk to you a minute. Want to know, do you know Jesus? Jesus, now who are you? Now what y'all doing out here? You know, kind of getting, you know, kind of familiar with him. And they spoke for a minute, and then Doris or whoever it was said, shake my hand. So he reached out to shake the hand, power of God hit him, fell out. Now he's on the street. Mercedes pulled from over there, over there, over there. Now he had pointed him out. He said, do you know who I am? He said, I am the chief of the, and I won't name the gang. I am the chief of this gang. You see that Mercedes over there? They watching my back. See that one there? They watching my back. See that one there? And then he messed around and shook hands with one of them.
See?
Let me show you a verse. Can I show you a verse on this?
Yeah.
Let's go over to Psalm 110.
All right. All right.
Psalm 110. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Look at verse 3. You ready?
Yes.
People shall be what? Willing. Keep going. In the day of thy power. That's all I want to read. Yeah. The devil doesn't respect anything but power. Nothing but power. And he knows. See, it's not you. I'm going to talk about something in a minute. Because I want to, tonight, we're going to talk about, we were talking about the faith it takes, but we're going to talk about, I'll tell you what we're going to talk about when I get back up there and read it again. I know what I'm talking about. I put it in a way that I want you to understand it. But anyway, so it takes some power.
Right.
And you have the power.
Amen.
It's not like you don't have it. But like I told you, this covenant is made for contact. So here's a guy laying on the ground, and they spun up. What y'all do to him? What? Now understand, two women. Notice God didn't send two men.
Amen.
Might have fired a shot from over across the...
Right.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Two women, you know. See? But the same power is available.
Amen.
I said the same power
Amen.
Is available.
Amen.
And what happened? They said this. He's been arrested by the Holy Ghost. They said, what? And then he came to himself and started getting up. He said, what'd y'all do to me? What'd y'all do to me? And ended up wanting Jesus as his Lord. Because the people shall be willing in the day of thy power. What has happened to the power in the church? We busy trying to talk folk in. Demonstrate them in.
Demonstrate them. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
So, tonight, I'm going to just speak just for a few minutes. And the name of it is Faith, the Anointing Connector. Faith, the Anointing Connector. All right, let's do a couple of things. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 10, please. Isaiah chapter 10. I'm going to speed through these scriptures really quick because I want to stop on time. Isaiah chapter 10. Let me know when you get there. Hello. Look at verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So what is the anointing? Right there we are saying it's God's burden removing. Come on. Yoke destroying. Power. All right, let's go to another step. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, glory to God, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the what? Fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick what? Understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Lord have mercy. But in righteousness. So what is the anointing? The anointing is the performance enhancer. The performance enhancer. It is designed to distinguish the believer. It is designed to make you a spectacle. When I say that, I mean make you stand out in the crowd. Say amen to that. What is the anointing? The anointing is God's power on human flesh to do what only God can do. Do you hear what I'm saying? You remember Samson? Samson slayed 1,000 men with what? The jawbone of an ass, of a donkey. That's what he did. Look at the next one. What is the anointing? It's the divine provision for triumphant living. Divine provision for triumphant living. You with me? All right. It brings an end to struggles. It brings an end to struggles. That's what the anointing will do in your life. People struggle until the anointing comes. Say amen to that. So the anointing is designed to give you sweatless victories. The anointing is designed to give you sweatless victories. All right. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4. Are you with me? Oh, no, come on. Are you with me? Look at Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the what? In the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region, round about, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. For there was delivered unto him a book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is where? Upon me. Because he has what? Anointed me. Say, anointed me.
Anointed.
Say, I'm anointed.
Anointed.
Look at the next dot. To preach the gospel to the who?
Poor.
He sent me to what?
Heal
the brokenhearted. To preach what else?
Deliverance
of the captives. And what else? Recovering of sight to the blind. And to do what else? To set at liberty them that are bruised. And what else? And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and sat down. Now, it makes it look like here that the anointing is limited to pulpit or fivefold ministry. And that is not true. That's what you got to get rid of, because the anointing is for exploits in any field that you may be working in right now. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Notice what he said. Go back to Joel, please. Joel, J-O-E-L, hallelujah. Joel chapter 2. Let me know when you get there with your smart self. Are you with me? Look at verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you what?
Former
rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the what?
Rain.
The rain. What does rain symbolize in this Old Testament? The anointing. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. The anointing is coming. So he will cause to come down for you to rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil, and he will what?
Restore.
He will what?
Restore.
So one of the things that the anointing is going to do when it comes into your life is do what?
Restore
to you what? The years that the locust has eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, and the pommel worm, that great army that was sent before you, and you shall eat how much? plenty and be what? Satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrous with you, and my people shall never be what? Shame. Any shame that was in your life, the anointing is going to remove it. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord and none else, and my people shall never be what? Ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'm going to pour out my spirit on some flesh, on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. The old men shall dream dreams, and the young men like me shall see visions. And are you following what I'm saying? Thank you. I appreciate that. There is no substitute for the anointing. And the church has to come back to the power that was in this church in the beginning. And it was in it during times that men have walked this earth. We got to come back to this. David had that anointing. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter. Now, as I'm talking about this, the anointing is waking up inside of you. 1 Samuel chapter 16, please. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm telling you now, when that anointing wakes up on you, all you got to do is go home and lay hands on somebody. Come on. I'm telling you, all you got to do is say, devil, come out of here. Hey, tell that boy, don't talk back to me. Devil, come out right now in Jesus' name. Ha, lay hands on the power. Let the power of God hit him. And you know what I mean? Straighten his mind up. And look what it says here in, y'all don't mind if I talk like this, do you? All right. You look at the seat. You got to be a little Pentecost. See, we get so sadity, we get so pretty, until we can't be Pentecost no more. We never come out. You gotta let go. You can't just be so cool until you can't say nothing. You got to. Y'all with me? But remember now, faith is the anointing connector. How does faith come? Hearing what? So as you're hearing the word tonight on the anointing, you are getting faith for the hookup. Praise God. I know that's right. Nothing wrong with being intellectual and so forth, but sometimes you got to turn into another man. All right. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and look at verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. Talking about David now. Brought him in. His brothers had already come before Jesse, but they were not chosen by God at this time. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Now I know right there, Samuel really had to follow the Lord, because David didn't look like he. See, folks have an image of he. He was 6'3". Come on. He had good wavy hair. Come on now. He was fine. But no, he is 5'6". He is a black man from Alabama. That is he. I am he. Y'all got me cutting up tonight. Okay. Verse 13. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Isn't that something? All right, how about another one? How about, let's pick Joshua, for example. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Now notice what he used there. He used some oil in that particular case. But let's see what he used in Joshua's case, as Moses was now, God had chosen Joshua to take over the leadership after Moses. And let's see how Moses transferred the anointing. Come on over to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. Look at verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had what? Laid his hand upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Isn't this interesting? Let's go to another one. Let's go to Elisha and 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. So now I saw a little oil. I saw somebody lay hands on somebody. But in each case, we're passing on the anointing. God's burden removing, the yoke destroying power, the God's power on human flesh to do what only God can do, the performance enhancer, the divine provision for triumph. And look what it says here in 2 Kings chapter 2, and look at verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. You know, he had some nerve to ask. Come on now, because most folk just say, hey, I want what you got. He didn't say that. He said, no, he said, listen, I don't want what you got. I want a double portion of what you've got. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elisha went up by a whirlwind unto heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, my father. And the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted thither. A miracle took place. And thither, and Elijah went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah does rest upon Elisha. Notice, in that case, he laid no hands on him. He said, I tell you what, Elijah was following him around. And he told Elisha, he said, now well, stay here, I'll be back. He said, no, I ain't staying there. Now, what was he doing? He was pressing in. Because God pours water on ground that's thirsty. You got a thirst for the anointing. You got a thirst for it, folks. I'm telling you, when I started out, I wanted this thing. I was fasting a week at a time, week on, week off. All kinds of things. I was going at it because I wanted it. I had it so I could call people on the phone. They get healed right on the phone. I'm talking about I'm going after it. Now, I'm just saying in your own way, which way are you pressing in for that anointing? Because the devil knows that's the most powerful force that's in this earth. And whatever you do, you can be anointed. I'm a typist. I can have you type 1,000 words a minute. You look like the bionic woman. Or something, a man. You know. I'm talking about that anointing can be on you and it'll distinguish you. See, it made me understand why when I thought I was Superman when I was a little kid, and I used to look at Superman all the time and bought them Superman shirts, why I had to have a cape. Because that was the mantle, you know what I mean? Clark Kent was passing on his mantle to BW. I had to have a cape. My mama told me, boy, if you get another one of my sheets, I'm going to beat you the life out of you. So, okay. I did. Okay. Luke chapter 24. We've almost done. Luke chapter 24. Two more scriptures. We're done. Luke chapter 24. Are y'all with me? This is when Jesus is about to depart. Now, if you look at that, that is basically what was happening. Is Elisha and Elijah are kind of like Jesus and the church. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm saying that Jesus is departing and he's telling his disciples, okay, I'm going to depart. Now, and they saw him when he departed. And this is what he said. Let's start reading. And verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you now. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with what? Power from on high. Don't leave here without the power. Okay? So the power of God is not limited to just fivefold ministry, the Pentecostal experience, but it's in every profession. Amen. That you can have the power of God working for you. Last verse, let's go to Mark chapter 5, please. Praise God. So Jesus, under that anointing, he healed the sick. He cast out devils. He also brought people social comfort. He fed the poor, didn't he? Amen. What did I just tell you? Mark chapter 5. All right. And look what it says here in Mark chapter 5. And I'll start reading at verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He besought him greatly, saying, Jesus, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus called Jesus the Christ. What does Christ stand for? The anointed one and his anointing. And you are Christians. You are little Christ. Look what it says in verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather she grew worse. Lord, have mercy. But when she heard about who?
Jesus.
Heard of Jesus. She came in the press behind, and what did she touch? Just touched his clothes, for she said, come on. If I may touch but his clothes, come on. I shall be whole. Let me ask you a question. In Acts chapter 19, what did Paul send out from his body that people took and put on people that were sick in their houses and so forth? Prayer cloth or handkerchief. So that anointing can be in clothes. Burden removing. Come on. Yoke destroying power. Now look how quickly that anointing worked. Verse 27, and when she had heard of Jesus, faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
She came in the press and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his what? Clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was what? Healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, he turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples answered and said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, you say, who touched me? He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, keep going. Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Keep going. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now let's stop right there. Now what am I saying? What made this woman whole? Her faith. Why didn't the Bible say, daughter, God's power just made you whole? Why didn't it say that? Because what? God's power is in this room right now. Right now. What does it take for it to manifest?
Faith.
How does faith come? And hearing by what? Word of God. So I'm just saying, same faith that healed that woman is available here right now. How do I know that? Because Jesus said this, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm right there. I'm right there. Amen. So I'm just saying, this faith causes this anointing to flow. And I want to teach you a couple of Wednesdays on this anointing. So your anointing inside of you, it's in you right now, will be stirred up. I remember one time I went over in Gary, I think it was Brother Crosby, and one of their relatives had a dog. They said the dog couldn't walk. I said, well, now we can lay hands on the dog. They said, can you lay hands on the dog? I said, anointing will work on anything, man. So the dog, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Dog got up and said, yeah, man. Dog started walking around. That's true. Come on now, y'all, you just. Y'all, are y'all gonna believe the man of God or y'all gonna? Now, I know that should be, in your may be a little extreme, but it's not. It's not. It'll fix anything. Now, that anointing is on you right now, but what we're going to do, we're going to stir that thing up. Because we're going to give you faith to draw that anointing out so that you can use that anointing all up and down the street and praise God. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got. Thank you. Amen. All right, I want now, glory to God. Let's just pray in the spirit a minute. God is saying something here. I just want to make sure I find it. Hey, Ke Brasata. Mere Ken Darasa Taravakonda. Roroko Sotonavakasa Lalavaki. Re Mere Ki Sarababa Mandarakosa. Rakeshe Te Brasata. Darababanda Lakosu Ravakovadibi. Rekeshendia rasa tarabakanda. Garababanda la costa da rabakobodibi. Rengi aranda zoto. Garababanda la costa da rabakobodibi keche. Rengi ti arasa tarabaku. Randa la costa da rabakatibi and dita rabakobodibi. Rokos da rabakasa da rabakobodibi. Ranging to the rabakatabanda da rabakobodibi. Rokos da rabakashida and rasa da rabakobodibi. Rendere chi c'era banda la corso da rabacoda di me, un garababanda la corso da rabacoda di me, che preche c'è, ricchi sata, un garababanda la corso da rabacoda di me, un garababanda la corso da rabacoda di me, che c'è, ringhin della rabacoda di banda la rabacoda di me, randa la corso da rabacoda di banda la rabacoda di me, ricchi c'è da rabacoda di me, da rabacoda di me. Rakasa da Rabaka de the Labo, Riki, she takes him. Garababanda la Costa Rabaka de Bay, All right, there's a couple of things that you, if you have, you need to be born again, you don't know Jesus, your Lord and Savior. And you've been in church, but you're never born again. You heard what I'm talking about. Jesus died for your sins. He rose again from the dead. Seated at the right hand of the Father, he died for you. So now, when you come, you'll be brought into the family. All your sins will be blotted out, and you have a brand new start. Whoever that is, I don't know who you are, whoever that is, right now, if I'm talking to you and you want to get Jesus into your life, you want to change, make a brand new start, get on a different road, right now, I want you to do something. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair, come up here and stand with me right here at the altar. Right now. Right now.